إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد،
we will continue. We will continue, inshallah, on the book of the Iman al-Awsat by the Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. Last time we talked about the different aspects of faith, and he indicated in the book that the level of the faith or Iman will increase and decrease. It will elevate and comes down, so different levels of Iman or different levels of faith, and that would be will increase as the person will increase on the prayers and the charity and fasting and all the good deeds and worshipping Allah, the different ways of worshipping Allah. The more the person do it, the more the Iman would increase, and that also would be like good means to have to love Allah more by doing these deeds. And people would be of different levels of Iman based on these deeds. And also the Iman will increase as the person would believe more without any doubt or any hesitations. And also one way of differentiation among the people is the degree of fear they have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how they humble themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as the level of love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different among people, also the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different. There are people who fear Allah more than others. Some people who will be watch Allah more and fear Him and avoid His prohibition more than others. And the same is for the love of Allah. There are people who would love Allah more than others. And that would be one way of preference among people, that some of them fear Allah more than others, and there are some people who will humble themselves to Allah more than others. And also another way of preference is that based on how much people know versus those who don't know. For example, when people are aware of Allah and His attributes, and those who know about the angels and believe in them and know about Allah and all His attributes are in better, higher Iman level than those who do not know any. So the more the knowledge of the Muslim is, the better his Iman is going to be, and the better his faith is going to be maintained on the higher end of it. So that means one of the ways to differentiate between the good believers versus less good is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the knowledge of the angels and the knowledge of Allah creation, including the jinns, and to know about the soul and the soul that Allah created, and about the jinn that Allah has created them and their characteristics, etc. And also when people are aware of what is going to happen in the hereafter on the day of judgment, including both the good rewards and the punishment. And Allah has told us many descriptions about the paradise. For example, Allah described in the Quran that the people of the paradise are going to have the best of the food and the best of the drinks and the best of the residence and dwellings. So when the one knows about all the details about this, as is described in the Quran, that in itself is going to increase the Iman. So the different level of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala And so to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His attributes, that is a better way of being in the higher status of Iman than to know, for example, the soul and to know our own self. So to know Allah the Creator, that is going to be a better
way.
Even though people would probably have different level of knowledge about their own well-being and their well-being, whether they are in health or sickness. So they know everything. Even how our body is being created and constructed. I mean, we have different level of knowledge and awareness about that. And for those who know about the creation of our own self are better than those who don't know. But to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far, far better than all. So to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far better than all.
قال فإن كل ما يعلم ويقال يدخل في معرفة الله.
Because everything that we know and everything that we come to comprehend and understand is under the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that in itself will lead us ultimately to realize the greatness and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ويقول إذ لا موجود إلا وهو خلق.
Because there is nothing that is present today or any creation that's present today cannot exist without the Creator. And all of these are witnesses themselves for the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of these also are witnesses for the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the greatness of His attributes. And his power. And everything that we see that is being created is perfection. It is also an indication of the power of Allah the Creator who created. So the more that the person would know about the creation of Allah, and the more he knows about defects and perfections, the more he comes to realize that Allah is the Creator and Allah is the perfect. And everything that Allah has created in itself is an evidence that there is a Creator that created them. So Allah is the one who created them in the first place, and they are here because Allah created them. And here Allah is the one that more worth of knowing and more worth of realizing and being aware of Him.
كلما كان هذا يعني سببا في زيادة معرفتي بصفات الله تعالى.
And the more we see the creation, the more we come to realize Allah's presence and Allah's power.
قال وهذا على طريق كل طائفة واصطلاحها. فهذا يقول كمال المعلول من كمال علته وهذا.
And each person will have his own perspective of looking at things. And everyone would look at how perfect the creation is and will realize that the Creator is the one that did this. So there are different people, different sects, different understanding, different level of comprehension. They all would realize that some of them would say that the perfection of the creation it's only indication of the perfection of the one who did it, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Muslim should always use the attributes of Allah that are mentioned in the Quran.
بعضهم يقول هذا الكون يعني من المعلولات والله تعالى هو علة وجود هذا الكون.
And to use other descriptions outside the attributes of Allah سبحانه وتعالى is not the preferred way. Some people will try to say that, you know, the reason that this perfect creation exists because of the Allah سبحانه وتعالى. As the hadith that was narrated by Ahmad in his Musnad through Ibn Mas'ud that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said. whenever the servant of Allah is confronted with any adversary or sadness, and he would recite the supplication that, O Allah, I am your slave and son of your slave woman, and all my affairs are in your hand, and your decree will happen upon me. I ask you by all the names that you have, every name that you have mentioned in your book, or every name that you have taught to your creation, or every name that you have concealed and kept for yourself. I ask you by all these names to make the Quran my is the relief of my heart. And the companion said, O Prophet of Allah, should we learn this supplication and teach them? And he said, yes, anyone who heard this supplication should teach it to other people as well. So in this hadith, the author has taken this hadith as a proof that Allah has names that he has concealed and kept for himself. He did not disclose them to us. So Allah has kept them as part of the unseen and unknown for us. And we know the names of Allah. The names of Allah also reflect his attributes. And for example, when we say Al-Qadir, which means the powerful, Basir, the one that is oft seeing, Al-Ghafur, the often forgiving. All these are attributes that shows Allah's different attributes. And we have explained this before in other lectures, that the attributes of Allah basically tell all his characteristics. When we say Allah Al-Alim, that he is the most knower, that means it reflects that Allah knowledge. And when we talk about Qadir, the powerful, it talks about Allah power. Each one of these attributes describe one of the characteristics that Allah has described himself with. So the names of Allah, none of these names actually is like a noun name for the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they are like attributes that each one of them describe one type of unlike the humans can, I mean, they can have names which does not really reflect any attributes, but Allah, each one of his names actually reflect one type of attribute, one type of characteristics. So from this hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beside what we know in the Quran, there are some attributes and names that Allah has kept to himself, and we did not know them. And we don't know all of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know all his names, and we don't know all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we know only some of them, and some of these attributes are actually within those which Allah kept for himself.
وإن كان من أسمائه ما اختص هو بمعرفته ومن أسمائه ما خص به من شاء من عباده.
And also there are some of the characteristics or names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has only given to certain people or certain creation of His. And there are some that we all know, which are from the Quran. So in the same hadith that we just read, that the hadith in which the Prophet said, Oh Allah, I ask you by all the names you have, every name that you have mentioned in your book, or any name that you have taught to one of your creation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did give some of his names to some of his prophets and messengers. And the average one of us may not know it or know them. So those prophets and messengers, or the people that Allah has selected, would know some of those names that the majority of us don't know. And there are some of the names that only Allah himself knows, and he kept them for himself.
فهذا معناه أن الناس يتفاوتون في معرفة الله تعالى.
So that means people have different level of knowledge about Allah attributes and names.
بيان مذهب أهل السنة الإيمان يزيد وينقص.
And based on this knowledge that that's where the different levels of iman.
حتى معرفة الله سبحانه وتعالى التي يعني يذهب بعض الفرق يعني كالجهمية يقول الإيمان هو معرفة الله فقط. طبعا هذا ليس بالصحيح الإيمان.
And يعني some of the groups and sects, I mean, they will think that they would come to realize some of Allah's names in certain ways, and they have no evidence for that. But just if we think about the knowledge of Allah only, people have different levels of awareness of and comprehension of Allah attributes and in this case the one with the knowledge definitely is going to have a better reason to have higher iman and higher believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite all of that, the level of the iman would go up and down, increase and decrease. And even those who have all this knowledge, their iman will decrease and increase.
According
to the people of the Sunnah, the knowledge of Allah is one of the ways that iman can be increased and enhanced.
So,
because a person who would know about Allah more than others
has better chance to have higher iman. أنهم عرفوا الله تعالى حق معرفته بحيث لم يبق له صفة إلا عرفوها.
And as some of the people of the philosophy and the people of who would come and claim that they have come to realize and know names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that were not disclosed. And that's what the author is saying, that some of the people that the people Ahlul Kalam basically are the people who are try to put things into a philosophical way, that they have come to realize Allah's name and attributes, all of them and every, and they said that any attribute or name of Allah that they didn't know, that means it didn't exist, which is not true. This is a rejected statement, and that cannot be true. As we said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has three levels of His names and attributes, some that no one would know, only Allah knows them, and some that Allah has given only to some people, like the messengers and prophets, and some that Allah has disclosed in His books.
قال وحجتهم في ذلك داحضة
and the people of the philosophical people of أهل الكلام their statement is rejected and their points are meritless.
يقول يعني بالنسبة لصفات الله تعالى وأسمائه كوننا يعني لا نعلم عن صفة من صفات الله تعالى هذا لا يعني أن هذه الصفة
and according to the author, if we don't know about a name or an attribute of Allah, that doesn't mean that name does not exist. So this group of people say if a name didn't come through them, that means it didn't exist. And that's basically rejected, because just the fact that we don't know something doesn't mean that thing doesn't exist. Thing can exist, but yet we don't know it. And from the Sunnah point of view, if something that we don't have a proof to see it, and we don't have anything to deny it or negate it, then we are not going to take a position by saying that it doesn't exist or it exists. We never affirm the existence or non-existence in that case. And generally, I mean, when we give Allah the power of having the knowledge that we don't know, that in itself it's something that fits Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indefinite knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself in the Quran, he negated any of the deficiencies. Like Allah never get tired, and Allah never go to sleep, Allah never fall asleep, Allah never become sleepy or tired. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also negated the fact that he would eat and that nobody will feed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of these are deficiencies that will fit us, the creation, but not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anything that's negative, I mean, we do not link it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And generally, we are not going to accept any defects or deficiencies to be linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ahl-Sunnah, the people of the Sunnah, are not going to negate or any of the attributes of Allah. And we're not going to say that this name or attribute does not exist. And this is unlike the philosophical people of the Kalam, who came to conclude that if a name that they don't know, that means that name does not exist.
ليس داخل العالم ولا خارج العالم ولا فوق ولا تحت ولا يمين العالم ولا شمال العالم ولا فوق ولا تحت ولا كذا ولا كذا.
And they have different statements, and they try to say things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they have no reference to it and no any reference or proof. So when they said, and the author here respond to them, respond to them by that not to have the knowledge about something doesn't mean that the thing does not exist. And if we don't know something, that doesn't mean that the non-existence of that thing. So if we don't know about something, that doesn't mean that this thing doesn't exist.
فليس عدم العلم القطعي أو الظني على الشيء دليلا على انتفائه إلا أن يعلم أن ثبوته مستلزم لذلك الدليل.
Only if there is a clear certain evidence and proof and reference to the information.
فيكون هذا لازما لثبوته.
So here the Imam Ibn Taymiyyah is responding to these people and basically telling them that the fact that they don't know about something does not mean that attribute or name of Allah doesn't exist.
And
for example, like if there is something that
ثم لا ينقلونه وهنا عدم نقلهم إياه هنا يمكن أن نستعمله دليلا على عدم وجوده في هذه الحالة.
If we are talking about something physical, that
كما يعلم أنه لو كان بين الشام والحجاز
but nobody has seen it, and because of that people say it doesn't exist, people can say okay, at least we can take this because nobody saw it. But this is not something physical to be seen. It's like a big city in a place. And this big city, people will travel to it and see it and come back from it and visit it and this and that. Like for example, people travel between Arabia and Sham, the area of Syria, and in between they see certain places. And every time they come, they see this city. And if people go back and forth, and none of them have seen this city, none of them have seen it, and nobody came forward to see the city. But if two or three people came and they said, we saw this great city in between the Sham and the Arabia, in this case we can answer them, we can respond to them and tell them that they were not telling the truth, they are lying, because here we are going to follow the majority of the people, because in here the majority of the people who has been through this way many times never saw it.
قال وكما في الحقيقة أطال شيخ الإسلام يعني تمثيل هذه القاعدة يعني ضرب لها
مثلا. As the author continues, he said,
وكما يعلم أنه لو ادعى النبوة أحد على عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
just like if somebody during the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would come and claim that he's a prophet at the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم like مسيلمة بن الكذاب who claimed that he was a prophet
يعني ادعاء
so this is a false claim
وانتشر امرهم هم هؤلاء مسيلمه
الكذاب مسيلمه الكذاب is the one that's more known and another one called Umayyah al-Asadi so these guys claimed that they were prophets
ونقل خبرهم
and people started to spread the word about them
في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وادعى النبوه وتبعه الاف
and let's assume that the
mean,
at the time of the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم a person like that come and claimed that he's a prophet and few people followed them. We will come and tell them that they are liars because this is basically contradict what we know.
It's
contradict what we know and if you were true then we would have been taught about you. And even Musaylim al-Kazzab, he didn't only claim that he was a prophet, he also tried to come up with new surahs like the Quran. And he said one that is just silly one, I mean he was talking about this frog jumping out and in water, etc. And it's really funny when you hear it in Arabic. And some people try to spread this, that the Musaylim came with, and they claim that it is something like the Quran.
كما نقلوا الفصول والغايات لأبي العلاء المعادي قبحه الله
العلاء and as people also spread many of the poetry that was said by أبو علاء المعري and Abu Ala al-Mu'arri claimed that he has said poetry that's like the Quran and he gave it a title that is completely rejected and people took it and spread some of it and people have also spread it some of the other nonsense statement that people claim to be like Quran etc.
في العادة أقوى في العادة والطباع في ذلك أرغب سواء كانوا محبين أو مبغضين يعني سواء كان الناس محبين للقرآن الكريم أو مبغضين له فالدواعي يعني تدعوهم إلى نقل هذا الكلام إذا كانوا محبين
and people who would spread such things and statements and nonsense speeches have their own reasons. Some of them is out of ignorance and some of them basically are not Muslims and they hated the Islam and Quran and they would do it just as a way to fight Islam and Quran. If somebody come to you and tell you that there is people who wrote books like the Quran which will be just like the Quran or better we will say to them where are these books if those books were really true and authentic there would be many people that would follow them and we would have heard about them but if nobody heard about those books except you that in itself that these books are really nothing
So here
the rule of thumb. The rule of thumb, the rule is here is that we never negate or affirm something that we don't see except if there is enough evidence to confirm the non-existence of something.
كما يعلم أن علي بن أبي طالب
and as it was known that علي بن أبي طالب
رد على الرافضة يعني
and some of the Rafida or the Shia have used this
rules.
If Ali has sought to be the ruler at the time of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and if he fight for it because the Rafida and the Shia they said Ali is the one that was supposed to be after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they have written many stories
كما نقل الناس أنه بعد عثمان رضي الله عنه طالب علي رضي الله عنه بالخلافة
But people, I mean the majority of the people actually handed the خلافة to Ali after Uthman.
يعني فعل هذا في عهد أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان لأنه قيل إليه لكن طالما لم ينقل معناه أنه كان مضطرا بخلافة أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وكان مبايعا لهم.
And Ali himself I mean was agreeable to Abu Bakr to be the successor and then Umar
قال وكما يعلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمره أن يصلي بالناس
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم himself when he asked for Abu Bakr to lead the prayers
أمره لأبي بكر رضي الله عنه وصلاته بالناس رواه البخاري ومسلم.
And that was the يعني
وكما يعلم أنه لو عهد له بالخلافة لنقلوا ذلك كما نقلوا ما هو دونه أيضا الشيعة يزعمون أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عهد بالخلافة من بعده لعلي
And as they claim that Ali was supposed to be the successor And if that was the truth and if what they claimed was the truth this, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ would have conveyed the same thing after the Prophet ﷺ death so the companions were not going to hide something that the Prophet ﷺ said or ordered so I mean, if the Prophet ﷺ did say that Ali is supposed to be the successor all the companions would have basically did that
قال بل كما يعلم أنه لم يكن يجتمع هو وأصحابه يعني هو صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه على اجتماع دف أو كف ولا على رقص وزهن يعني كما يفعل المتصوف يعني في حلقات الذكر والحضرة الصوفية وكذا يجتمعون
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم
الدفوف ويرقصون وكذا
He used not to gather with the companions after the prayers to do any rituals after the five prayers like the Sufis do today.
لعلهم كانوا يفعلون هذا ولكن لم ينقل إليه نقول يستحيل أن يكونوا يفعلون هذا
and some of the Sufis said that what that's the right way to do this and we told them that you know there is no any evidence or any report to show that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to do rituals like some of the dancings and singings after the prayers and there is no any information conveyed authentically regarding that
بعد الصلوات يجتمع هو وهم على دعاء ورفع أيد ونحو ذلك إذ لو فعل ذلك لنقلوه
and they not only that they used not even to sit as a group and raise their hands for supplication after the prayers so they used not to do that and if they did that then that would have been passed down to us but none of that was passed down to us
دائما فجتهم يقولون ما أدراكم أنه لم يفعل ربما كان يفعل
and they say to us I mean what's your proof that they used not to do this and we said to them well if they did that they would have this then would have been reported and been passed down to us in form of hadith and report etc but there is none of that exist because the companions are going to be more careful to convey these important things if they happened
بل كما يعلم أنه لم يصلي في السفر الظهر والعصر
Also, it wasn't that the Prophet ﷺ used not to pray for rak'at on Zuhr, Asr or Isha when he is on a journey or when he is traveling. So he used to always shorten the Zuhr, Asr and Isha. all the companions who traveled with the Prophet on journeys, they reported, I mean, there are thousands and thousands of the companions traveled with the Prophet on journeys, and they all has reported the same thing, that the Prophet, once he is off on a journey, he will shorten the prayers, I mean, like Zuhr, Asr, and Isha. And if somebody come and say that the Prophet used to pray four rak'at when he was on a journey, and he will say that you guys just don't know it, I will say to them, you know, no, there is enough evidence from all the companions that the Prophet ﷺ, when he was on a journey, he used to shorten the Zuhr, Asr, and Isha. And the companions, however, showed us that sometimes the Prophet ﷺ used to combine two prayers together when he was on a journey, and sometimes he used not to combine. So like the Zuhr and Asr together, Maghrib and Isha together, and sometimes he used not to do
كما يعلم أنه لم يكن يصلي المكتوبات وحده بل إنما كان يصليهن في الجماعة.
And also the Prophet used to pray the five prayers always in congregation.
بل كما يعلم أنه لم يكن هو وأصحابه يحملون التراب في السفر للتيمم.
And also it's the Prophet used not to carry any sand or dirt with them to use for tayammum, like as some people do today, they carry some sand with them to use for tayammum, and the Prophet used not to do that. And they used to make wudu for wherever they are from, wherever they can find. If they can't, then they just use the sand or the ground, wherever they are, to make the tayammum.
وَلَا يُصَلُّونَ كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ عَلَى مَنْ يَمُوتُ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ.
And they used not to make the Salatul Ghaib for anyone who passed away. Salatul Ghaib is basically the prayer on the deceased person that is not physically there. Like many people, if somebody passed away in a different area or country, they insist to pray the Salatul Ghaib, the funeral prayer on that person, despite the fact that the person, I mean, was prayed upon and everything.
قال ولا ينوون الاعتكاف كلما دخلوا المسجد للصلاة.
And also the Prophet ﷺ used not to always not to do i'tikaf whenever he walks in a masjid, like i'tikaf that to pray all night, etc. So the Prophet ﷺ and the companions used not to perform i'tikaf every time they go into masjid. They used to go in there and pray, I mean, maybe Fajr, Zuhr, or Maghrib, or Isha, and then they leave and go home. And they never used to stay every night that's in the masjid for i'tikaf.
قال بل كما يعلم أنه لم يصلي على غائب غير
النجاشي. The Prophet ﷺ never performed the funeral prayer on somebody who passed abroad except for Najashi. Najashi, the king of Abyssinia. That's the only one that the Prophet ﷺ has performed the funeral of غائب on him.
قال بل كما يعلم أنه لو كان دائما يقنط في الفجر وغيرها بقنوت مسنون يجهر به لنقل الناس ذلك. نقلوا قنوته العادة.
Did not recite the قنوت after the فجر prayer every day. If he did that and if he did it with a loud voice, that would have been conveyed to us. Just like the way that people have conveyed to us the qunut when the Prophet ﷺ did it occasionally in some of the at some occasions, and the Prophet ﷺ used to do the qunut, and the qunut basically a supplication that people do after Fajr prayer, and the Prophet ﷺ used to do that only when there is crisis or there is any difficulties for the ummah, or if there is any adversaries that the ummah is faced with. So the Prophet ﷺ but once that is gone, the Prophet ﷺ used not to recite qunut on a regular basis. So, and if he used to recite qunut every night, then that would have been reported to us and would have been conveyed to us.
في عرفة ومزدلفة قصرا وجمعا صلى بالناس بعرفة أو مزدلفة حصرا وجمعا، ولو أمر أحدا خلفه أن يتم صلاته أو أن لا يجمع معه لنقل الناس ذلك كما نقلوا ما
جاء. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم on the day of Arafah he prayed Zuhr and Asr shorten two rak'at instead of four each and he combined Zuhr and Asr together and Maghrib and Isha also he combined them and he shortened the Isha. And if the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and if he had commanded anyone behind him to go and finish the four rak'at for Zuhr or Asr, then that would have been reported to us. But he did not, which means everyone did it like the way the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did.
قال وكما يعلم يعني ما زال الحديث يعني عن ايه
and we continue to talk about this rule if something happened and we have enough evidence to it then we cannot accept anything that contradicted so like something happened and majority of the people witness it and has reported then and if and contrary if something was not reported and people come and negate it because it's not reported we cannot agree with that because we cannot negate something just because we don't see it.
But فمن أمثلة ذلك يقول وكما يعلم أنه لم يأمر الحيض في زمانه المبتدئات بالحيض أن يغتسلن عند انقضاء يوم وليلة.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم also when the people when the women had their monthly cycle at the beginning of the cycle the first day for example or the second day the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم never told them to do the ghusl the shower every night or after the first night thinking that the cycle is going to be just one day or two days no so the Prophet ﷺ never commanded them to do take the shower every first day or second day after the beginning
لو كان يأمرهن بالاغتسال عند
if the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to order them to take the shower after the first day then that would have been reported and we will have enough evidence of that
وأنه لم يأمر أصحابه أن يغسلوا ما يصيب أبدانهم وثيابهم من
and also he did not tell any of his companions to wash away what is being sticking to their clothes from the salmons. الشافعي عن الإمام الشافعي عن أحمد they said that it's not unclean the salmon is not unclean and like if it is on the clothes still the person can pray with it
فاستدلنا بهذا على انه لم يامر بهذا
and their proof that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not ask the companions did not tell the companions to wash away the many
قال وانه لم يوقت للناس لفظا معينا لا في نكاح ولا بيع ولا إجارة ولا غير ذلك
and also the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not set specific statements to perform the nikah, the contract for marriage or contract for trading like buying and selling or contract for renting. He did not set any specific statements that people must use. There is no specific statements requirements that to be used. Just the overall requirements are flexible. So the Prophet ﷺ didn't limit that. If the Prophet ﷺ said there is a specific statement for the marriage contract, for example, then we all have to stick to that. Or if he has a statement for the contract of buying and selling, then we must stick to that all the time. But no, he did not specify any statement for these contracts. People can say them on different ways, as long as there is the agreement between the two parties is there. And when the Prophet ﷺ, when he performed the farewell pilgrimage, the Prophet ﷺ did not do Umrah prior to that Hajj, after Hajj, I mean. He did not do Umrah after the Hajj. And when he left Mina towards Mecca on the day of the Eid, the Prophet ﷺ did not perform the Tawaf or the Sa'i on that day. So he went and he did the stoning of the shaitan. Then after that he went to Mecca and made the tawaf. And it's not the Prophet ﷺ did not do the tawaf and say before the stoning. And whoever would follow the books of the Bukhari and Muslim carefully, and whoever would understand and think about the statements we have from the companions and the tabi'in, would know that all what we said is very authentic and right. And the point here is that if something is physical and we have to have a proof for its existence, then in this case, if we don't have any proof or lead to the existence, then that absence of proof can be used to negate the existence of that physical thing. So
مع ذلك لا تنقل إلينا فهنا عدم نقلها إلينا نقول هذا دليل.
So in this case, when there is no any proof or any authentic reference that this exists, that in itself can be used to draw the conclusion that this did not exist. This is different than the unseen. The unseen are different, like the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of these are unseen. We don't comprehend and encompass and know all of them. Just like the paradise, the description of the paradise. Allah said that in the paradise is going to be everything that the person would desire. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the paradise there will be things that no eye has seen before and no mind have thought about, which means things exist in paradise that are beyond our comprehension of today. So this is part of the unseen. But here in this case, this is the unseen that if we don't have physical leads to show us, doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, because this is part of the unseen. So we cannot negate that. We cannot negate that just because of the absence of a physical proof. And the same will apply to the attributes of Allah, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot attach any attributes to Allah that we didn't have a proof for it. And at the same time, we cannot negate that there are the attributes and names of Allah that we don't know, because it is part of the unseen. Because there is enough evidence in the Quran and the Sunnah that Allah has some of His names kept as unseen for us.
قال فأسماء الله تبارك وتعالى وصفاته إذا لم يكن عندنا ما يدلنا عليها لم يكن ذلك مستلزما لانتفائها.
So the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we don't have any reference to what they are, that doesn't mean that they don't exist, because they are unseen.
ولا في العقل ما يدل على أن لا بد أن نعلم كل ما
هو. And there is no any rule on the book of Allah or the teaching of Islam that we must have a proof for every single name for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before we accept that Allah has names we don't know.
الخلق وأعلمهم بالله عز وجل.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the one who knew about Allah more than anyone, said to Allah, I cannot include all the praise towards you, Allah, because you praise yourself more than I do to you. So the Prophet himself could not praise Allah enough because of the names and attributes of Allah that he himself doesn't know. And also in the hadith, the hadith of the intercession, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the hadith of the intercession said that on the day of judgment he will prostrate to Allah right at the throne and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right at the throne. And that Allah will give him names that he doesn't know them. Allah will teach him names and attributes of Allah that he didn't know. And if the Prophet ﷺ, the one who knows the most about the Prophet, about Allah than anybody, doesn't know all the attributes and names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what about us?
فكيف يكون غيره عارفا؟
So how about other than him? And he is the one that knows Allah more than anybody.
وكل ما له من الأسماء.
And how about other people who would claim that they know every name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
فيما حامده وفيما يثنى عليه.
So if the Prophet ﷺ himself, who knows more than any of us, doesn't know all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and attributes, and Allah has taught him and Allah has given him many things that we don't have, how about other people that are much less in knowledge than the Prophet ﷺ will come and claim that they know every name of Allah and every attribute of Allah?
قال وإذا كان كذلك فمن كان بما له من الأسماء والصفات أعلم وأعرف كان بالله أعلم وأعرف. هذا يعني يريد أن يصل منه.
And here the conclusion is that people have different level of knowledge and knowledge of Allah in particular.
So
therefore this can be one way that the people of knowledge, especially knowledge of Allah, can have better and higher iman level than those who don't have such knowledge, and those who have more knowledge they have a better chance to have more iman and more faith and higher level, and one of the means of increasing of the iman
وصفاته أعلم كان بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أعلم. لذلك يعني يؤمنون بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, لكن بعضهم يكون أكثر علما بأسماء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
People would believe in the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, but also there are some people who would know more about the names of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his life and attributes etc.
أنا العاقب الذي ليس بعده نبي.
And like the Prophet ﷺ, he is the Prophet of mercy, and he is the Aqib, Al-Aqib, and these are some of the names and attributes that Allah has set on him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet ﷺ has attributes and has names also, and the people that know about these attributes and names of the Prophet ﷺ have more knowledge about him than those who don't. And this can also be part of or one of the means of increasing iman.
أنه نبي كمن علم أنه رسول الذي يعلم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And also, and like the one who would know Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم as a prophet, it's not like the one who know him as a messenger.
ولا من علم أنه رسول كمن يعلم أنه خاتم الرسل.
And not and the one who knows that he is a messenger is not like the one that would know that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is the seal of the prophets.
ولا من علم ذلك كمن علم ما خصه الله به من الشفاعة.
And also I mean the one that would know that I mean he is a prophet of Allah is not like the one who would know the special thing that Allah has given to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم only like the intercession. The intercession and the Jawami al-Kalim and many of the other things that Allah has given to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم only.
وليس كل من جهل شيئا من خصائصه يكون كافرا بل كثير من المؤمنين يسمع بكثير من
It doesn't mean that anyone who did not know about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم attributes or special things, it doesn't mean that person is not a Muslim. The person is a Muslim, but he just ignore and doesn't know about these special things, and that in itself is one of the increased knowledge that can lead to higher iman. So if somebody doesn't know about the attributes or the special things that Allah has given to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, if one person doesn't know them, that doesn't mean he is not a Muslim. And also, I mean, anyone who does not know some of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mean he is not a Muslim. Especially because there are many believers, many mu'mineen, has never heard about many of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
تفاضل الإيمان الذي في القلب فهذه كلها وجوه تبين تفاضل الإيمان
and all these things are reasons to have people of different faith and one of those reasons is the difference in the amount or level of knowledge or knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his attributes and that would lead to more love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all these things people have different levels of them their love to Allah and their knowledge of Allah
تفاضلهم في الأقوال والأعمال الظاهرة فلا يشتبه على أحد
But when it comes to the difference among people in what they say and what they do, these are obvious enough for everyone to see, and nobody will confuse that. It will be very clear that like people who would do things and perform things for the sake of Allah, they will be clear and people will see them. It's unlike knowledge that people don't see it in you. And these are certainly differentiators when it comes to the level of Iman. So this is the end of this section. And here is basically the Iman can increase based on the knowledge of Allah and awareness about His attributes and we'll stop here.
أسأل يعني عن بعض الحجاج يبيتون في المزدلفة بدلا من المبيت في منى طبعا المبيت في منى
The brother is asking about the people who go to Hajj and pilgrim. Some pilgrims spend the night in Muzdalifah and some of them just go to Mina without spending night in Muzdalifah.
So,
if someone has skipped one of the wajibs of the Hajj, then he can remedy that by sacrifice. Sacrifice and but if the person did not spend the night there because of the crowd and or any reason, then that would be okay. Even Sheikh Ibn Baz. At one point, I mean, the Mina was so crowded, and people who could not find space. He gave them, he said, they okay, they can spend the night in Muzdalifah. Muzdalifah is right next to Mina. And he said that like when the masjid on the Friday, if the masjid is full and there is no space, then can be extended outside on the streets following the same imam of the Masjid al-Haram. It would be like praying in the Masjid al-Haram. So the same thing here is if someone is in Mina, but because of the limited space, the person could not stay in Mina. But he stayed in one of the vicinity of Mina, like in this case it's considered like he's in Mina. So he doesn't have to do a sacrifice in that case, doesn't have to kill an animal to cure that. And sometimes also some of the school of thoughts said if the person will spend some of the night, even if he's walking through during that time in the area, that will suffice. But to be on the safe side, the person has to seek a spot where he can set his tent. And that would be safer than just to walk through the area and say that that's it during the night. I mean, if the person would basically spend the night there, that is the preferred way.
طيب هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.